Hello and welcome to the Tri-State Space Program. This is part two of my sprawling musical conversation with Nathan Yoakum, the keyboardist of Evansville band Trashloaf. That's two words. They've officially started playing shows. You can catch them out sometime. I'll link to their Facebook page in the description. There's no backing music in this half of the podcast, though it was spontaneously cool in the first half. Thanks for listening. Here's part two of my conversation with Nathan Yoakum of Trashloaf.
I did buy a couple records on Amazon before I even got out of bed.
Yeah.
Which, you know, I bought In Rainbows and Dr. Dre's The Chronic. You know, those are two, like...
That's a great fucking combo, man.
They were both cheap, man. You know, and it's like, you know, it's like, hey, you can't go wrong.
How cheap?
Like 13 bucks.
A piece?
Yeah.
It's not bad.
No.
Especially for In Rainbows.
Yeah.
Because usually you can't get that out of a record store for less than 20 bucks.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I like to, it is show, shop.
It's a great album,
yeah,
too, isn't
I mean,
it?
I mean, it is Local Shops Saturday or whatever, or Shop Local Saturday.
Yeah.
But yes, I did buy them off Amazon, but Amazon's got really good cheap prices sometimes on vinyl.
It's those two things. It's those, like, we were talking about Radiohead earlier. It's the weird electronic shit and the, like, kind of staple rock shit, like the best of the best, like, rock sound.
Yeah.
Both of those together for Radiohead, that makes In Rainbows.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I mean, the King of Limbs was kind of more electronic, definitely, but In Rainbows had a lot of guitar in it.
Oh, yeah.
And it
yeah.
was so good. I really liked that album.
Oh, I love that album, too. When it first came out, I hated it, but...
Jigsaw Falling Into yeah. Place.
House of Cards is my favorite song.
That's a great
on
one too.
I
yeah,
mean, it's
yeah.
just yeah, it's just a beautiful song. But
the whole album's good though, man. I
know.
I kind of hate that song was used in Twilight, but then I was like, you know what? If Radiohead makes a song that's so catchy and undeniably good that you know that it's in this fucking movie, okay, whatever. Like you know that just it gives my interests more validity. You know?
Yeah. So that's why, you know, it's like I got a good deal on that In Rainbows. And then it's like, okay, I've been kind of going through like a 90s, late 80s, 90s rap nostalgia period.
Great shit, man.
I mean, you know. That's
I like hip-hop too, man. I'm a huge hip-hop fan at the same time.
I'm not the world's biggest rap and hip-hop fan, but, you know, I grew up as a child in the 80s. And you know, I went to middle school and high school in the 90s. And... that's the stuff I got into. I mean, for the longest time, I mean, I remember when NWA came out. I mean, I had that stuff. Ghetto Boys was, you know,
yeah.
a Public Enemy. Public Enemy
okay,
was
yeah,
my
yeah.
group. I love that. Takes a Nation of Millions.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Fear of a Black Planet. I mean, I had all those on cassette. You know, I mean, I'm like the whitest of the white boys in the middle of corn-fed Indiana listened, you know, to Bring the Noise.
And
you know, Fuck the Police.
Yeah.
And have no idea what it means.
Yeah,
but
it's catchy.
Yeah, you know, Chuck D and Flavor Flav. And but then, you know, I got into the whole Death Row thing, you know, Dr. Dre and Snoop Dogg and Tupac and, you know, that's just an Ice Cube. That's when I thought rap was its greatest.
Yeah,
I mean, that was just...
People actually were lyrical, too.
Yeah.
Like, that's what spawned, like, Eminem and shit like that. Yeah. That was way more lyrical that, you know...
Well, and, you know, like, I love funk, and they would, like, rip off or borrow a lot of stuff from Parliament or Funkadelic.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I love that stuff, too. And so it's like to go back and listen to those beats in there. Another band that I listened to all the time that really got into it was Digital Underground. I love
Tupac was in Digital Underground.
Tupac,
right? Okay.
Yes, you knew that.
Okay. Yeah,
many
yeah,
people
yeah.
do not know that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But Tupac started out in Digital Underground, and
with the guy with the mask.
Yeah, Humpty Hump.
His name. Yeah,
yeah,
yeah
Shock
yeah, yeah.
G.
Yeah. Okay.
Now, fun fact: I listened to that band forever, and I did not know that Shock G and Humpty Hump are, you know, we're two different people.
I thought
they were two different people. I didn't know they were the same person.
Okay, okay.
But that was his Shock G's alter ego. And I didn't find this out until like 15 years later, which is crazy. But I went to the flea market the other day, and they had a Digital Underground shirt with Humpty Hump or Shock G on it, just his face, and it was for $1.99, and it was my size, and I'm like, the heavens opened up. I'm like, this is the greatest thing ever. So yeah. I got myself a Digital Underground t-shirt.
That's cool. Yeah. I love when I'm on Amazon and then I find the perfect thing online, you know, yeah. Just like, oh man, that's fun. Like just going through there and it's like, oh shit, it's like $8.
Yeah.
I can stand to spend $8 on this badass thing.
Oh yeah. Well, even better at a flea market, because you don't ever go to a flea market looking for anything.
Yeah, right.
You just find what you find.
Yeah, that is a find, really.
Yeah, and it's like it's just hanging up for $1.99, a Digital Underground shirt, and I'm like, oh hell yeah, and it's not even stained and it doesn't have holes in it and it's my size.
Wow.
You know, it's like this is awesome. And then you know, of course, I always look through the record bins, and I kind of tore them up yesterday and spent way too much money, but
I just love listening to vinyl.
Oh yeah.
Me and my girlfriend are gonna get into that pretty soon. I'm gonna make it happen.
Oh,
so we're, you know, we just listen to shit and hang out, burn some incense and stuff.
Yeah. Yeah,
that's a good. I mean, it's just a good vibe to have vinyl on, I feel like.
Well, and it's also an addiction though too, if you get into it. So be careful.
Oh, yeah, it is.
Now it's like digging everywhere and trying to find gold, and you know, it's like I love going through like collections, and I love having that in my hands. I love the sound.
Right.
And then it's like once you start though, man, it's hard to stop, because you know, it's like, ooh, I need this.
Even if you stop for a while, if you happen to be where vinyl is, then you're like, just, you know, like a fucking mouse.
Yeah, it's like, I don't need that, but it's like, oh, I gotta have that. I don't have that album, but I have all their other albums, and you know,
I have the album before this. I need this one.
Yeah.
I'm not gonna listen to it immediately, but I need it for my collection. Yeah, I got an Alan Parsons Project record, actually.
Nice.
The one with Eye in the Sky on it. I can't remember the name of the album. That might be the name of the album.
But like yesterday I cleaned up and I got a Rolling Stones album, a George Harrison album, a Kinks album, a Johnny Cash Parliament.
Damn.
Yeah, it was a good score day.
They should have their own. There should be an American Pickers that is picking for vinyl.
Well, you know, that's funny though that you do.
Do they have that online? There's got to be somebody that's doing that.
You know, I don't know if there's a TV show for that, but I was watching American Pickers the other day, because every once in a while it's on, and I'll do I'll watch it for a little bit. And they went to this one person who was like a hippie or something like that. He had like this little commune kind of style house in the middle of nowhere, and they bought a copy of the Beatles Butcher album off of him for like $3,000, which is like super rare. It's like the golden ticket album. So that was kind of cool, but. You just never know when you're going to find those little finds. And, you know, I mean, I've had some friends. I remember my one buddy one time. He got caught. I guess somebody threw out their record collection and threw it in a trash dumpster in Madisonville, Kentucky. So he drove down there and dumpster dived in the middle of the night.
Wow.
And got all the vinyl. But he got, like, all these mono Beatles albums out of it that are worth some money.
That's crazy.
But people just throw that stuff away. And it's worth so much money now. But it's like it's an obsession. Me and my neighbor Chris talk about that all the time. It's like once you start, man, you can't stop. You just got to keep getting more and more. It is like crack. You know, it's like I gotta have this, I gotta have that. It's like, oh, I've never seen this before, and you know, and
it's weird because it's just a piece of like plastic in a cardboard sleeve. But oh my God, it's gonna sound so cool.
Well, though, that and you know, music has been so. I guess I don't know what the word I want to say is. Music itself, you know, you had it came out on vinyl, and then there was 8-tracks, and then there was cassettes, and then CDs. But you know, CDs have no value anymore. I mean, everybody has their stuff on MP3s.
Yeah.
They put it on their iTunes. They put it on their iPhones. You can stream stuff on the internet.
Yeah.
All the time. I mean, everything is right there.
Yeah.
It has no value. It has no significance anymore. But at least with a vinyl record, you have that in your hand. It's worth money.
Right.
You know, one of the great joys I had this summer is, I guess, Bob Dylan's Highway. God, was it the highway was it 49 Revisited or Highway?
Maybe.
I don't know. I can't
believe I'm not sure.
I can't believe I can't think of the name. It's the one with like a Rolling Stone on it. And so it was the 50th anniversary of it coming out. And Highway 61, how I did not remember that, being a Dylan fan that I am. I just had a brain fart. But I have that on vinyl, on mono. And I have a great copy of that. It came out 50 years ago this summer. And I put it on my record player, and I just sat there and thought about what that felt like 50 years ago to put that record on and somebody hear that organ for the first time and hear that song for the first time, because that was so groundbreaking at the time that nobody heard that music, and I'm hearing it in the same format as they did, you know, and that was just like one of those "this is awesome" kind of moments.
Yeah.
You know, and you know, whether it be the Beatles or the Stones or Dylan, that's just stuff that, you know, we take for granted now, that, you know, all this music comes out, but that stuff was so groundbreaking at the time that nobody heard anything ever like that before.
Yeah.
And I, you know, it's like, to me, there are some bands that come out with music that it's just like it blows your mind these days, but nothing like that. You know, that was the golden period where people were not hearing these things ever. And just to hear that sound and stuff like that. You know, my mom always tells me the story of when she watched the Beatles on Ed Sullivan for the first time. And everybody was gathered around the television because it was the first time that they ever seen the Beatles on television, and how they were screaming and you know, people were going nuts. And it's like,
what's just live music on a screen?
Like, and the Beatles. I mean, you know, we rock and roll, man. We know rock and roll, but they did not know rock and roll then.
Yeah, yeah,
and
true.
And, you know, that's just to hear those stories, it's just like, oh, I wish I lived in a different time.
Yeah.
You know, I wish I lived in the 60s and 70s and I could see the Stones on their Exile tour, or I could see see Dylan and the Band in 74, or you know, all these little things, or you know, see the Beatles back in the heyday, and now, you know, the Stones are touring and they're charging $200 to see some old decrepit guys up there on stage, and I can't do that, or I'm not going to dole out $150 to see Paul McCartney, that's for sure.
If we were back in the 60s and we just had the idea to, we could have this conversation on radio while smoking cigarettes.
Yeah.
Exactly this conversation.
Yeah.
It's crazy. It's like how times change. Now, radio is so corporate, it would never be, not even at midnight, we couldn't have a conversation about the local music scene.
Well, I think that's what's so great, though, about podcasts. Because it gives people that outlet. You can still do the radio shows, and you can broadcast it to a larger audience. And if people pick it up, they choose to listen to it.
Yeah.
And so you can still talk about all these things.
And get it out there. But it's just on the radio, like, some people are just going to be listening to that.
Yeah.
Just, you know, happen to be listening to that.
Absolutely.
You have to seek out a podcast.
Yeah, you do have to seek out a podcast, or, you know, post it, or, you know, drive people to it, or whatnot. But yeah, and then you mentioned talking about the local music scene, and I think we've been talking about everything but.
Yeah, well, man, we started out. Actually, I'm going to grab another beer, so let's hit the space bar for a minute and come back.
Sounds good.
Okay, we're back. So, I guess really one of the main like topics of this podcast has kind of been the local music scene, obviously, and that's why I'm having you on to talk about it. I didn't realize you had been part of it for so long. Six bands worth is quite a bit if you think about, you know, unless you're doing two bands at the same time all the time, you know. That's quite a few years. I have
been in a couple of projects at the same time, but no, I've been playing in bands since 2000. That was our very first band some of us just got together and started playing. The band's name was and still to this day my favorite band name. It was called Gummo Junction. You know, if anybody has ever seen that movie, have you ever seen Gummo?
No, I don't think so.
Oh, well, it's a fucked,
I want to say I have.
It's
but
a fucked up movie, man.
It.
You should watch it. But we took that band name and you know that was a you know that was a crazy little project of just really good friends getting together, and we got some gigs out of it. And then I was in a band called Smooth Groove for a while, which I hated that name, but we were a good band. Then I was in a band called Natural Habit, and then it was Sneaky Pete, and then the Waywards, and now Trash Loaf. And then I played in a couple other projects. So what is that, like five, six?
Six, something, I think six. Something I think you're like right, that. Six, man.
But yeah, I, you know, I never played music as a kid. I wish I used to riff on all the people who took band, and now I look back and say, man, I wish I would have took band.
Yeah.
You know, I just wanted to play music. I always tried to play guitars, and I just could never do it. My fingers just didn't work right, and. So I decided, oh, you know what? I'm going to play piano or play keys. And so I bought me a Yamaha P120 back in 2001, just on a whim. I dropped a lot of money on an instrument I didn't even know how to play. And I just kind of picked it up. And I just rolled with that Yamaha for years and years. And then last year, I finally was able to upgrade. I mean, I had yard sales, and I sold all – like a bunch of stuff because I was trying to save up money, and I got myself a Nord Electro too.
Sweet.
And you know, it's an older version of the Nord, but it's still a Nord nonetheless.
Yeah.
And that's kind of really just taking my game up a notch. You know, I've never taken, like I mentioned earlier, I've never taken a lesson in my life. Everything I do is by ear. I don't know how to read music. I have to sketch things out sometimes before I play them. But, you know, I mean, it's fun. I'm getting better all the time. I still don't think I'm very good, but they keep me around. But I don't think any musician thinks they're very good. And if they do, you have to worry about that.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, everybody thinks they're playing shit. And then everybody said, "No, man, you're pretty awesome." And then it's kind of hard to hear that sometimes, but but no, I mean, you know, and there's not a lot of local bands that have keys, and so you know, I'm pretty sure that I could always get a gig if I wanted it, but I'm very choosy about what I do and you know what kind of music I play. And I wish there's like, you know, I don't do a lot of stuff where I don't do a lot of loops on things. I don't like hook computers up to my boards. I don't know the technical stuff on all that stuff. I just know how to play and do what I do. But a lot of it's trial and error. I love that old organ sound, which that Nord gives me now. That really has stepped up my game to be able to do a lot of stuff like that. And as far as playing keys, you know, I think Greg Allman actually said it best one time, and this is the kind of the quote that I use, you know, when he was talking about what his contribution to the Allman Brothers band, besides being an Allman and writing the songs, was. He said, you know, I play keyboards, man. I'm just the gravy. You know, I just add that extra little flavor to it. And that's kind of how I've always felt. I don't want to be the guy out there kind of being the lead. I don't even like a microphone in front of my face, which I do have one now to sing back up because I don't like to sing. But I just like to be able to add that sound, those layers of sound, because it does. It gives a band a different kind
of extra layer. Yeah,
it is.
Yeah,
it is. Yeah. And, you know, so I have a lot of really great keyboardists that I look up to, that, you know, Steve Winwood's one, another player that I actually got to meet a couple months ago was Steve Mollets, who played in Particle, who plays in Particle, and he also played with Phil Lesh and Friends. Just an amazing keyboard player, and I got to meet him and hang out with him, and we actually got to talk. Awesome. We were talking band names during set break, and I'm like, I'm sitting here talking band names with like this keyboard player that I look up to, you know, like Bernie Worrell is another one I look up to. Yeah. Ben Folds is an amazing piano player, but you know, Alan Toussaint, who passed away recently, was one that I looked up to. Bill Payne, who played in Little Feet, you know, just little things like that. But I love that sound. And so, you know, I feel like that I kind of have a special niche because I do play keys, and I'm just getting better all the time. And it's just fun. It's fun. And you know, like I said, I love the local music scene. There's all these great bands that play, and I have my favorites that I go out and see. I mean, I don't get out as much, from, you know, that I want to, because, like, right now we aren't playing out live, but hopefully we will be soon. And you know, my biggest thing is like I go to shows now and I see local bands play, and it just makes me want to be up there And I
don't get that all the time.
Yeah, I don't go there to critique their playing, because actually when I go to big shows with you know, like big touring bands, if I hear a wrong note played, I'm like, I hear that.
You know?
I was at the Father John Misty show and I heard a bad note on the guitar, and you know, I looked over at my girlfriend, I'm like, that was a wrong note. You know, it's like, but I hear that.
Yeah.
Did you hear that? She goes, no, I didn't hear that. And I'm like, I heard that. You know, but
I heard that shit.
Yeah.
But come on, man.
Yeah. No. But there's some really, really great bands that are here locally, and you know, one of my favorites is Thunder Dreamer.
Thunder Dreamer's fantastic.
Oh,
dude.
Man, aren't they?
Great.
Oh,
I need to get there. I need to get the whole band on, but especially that lead singer. I had him on The Edge. Yeah. I used to do the local music at The Edge, and I had him on then. And he was, dude, he played some songs in studio. Yeah. They were fucking insane.
Yeah.
Just him and a guitar. I can only imagine how bad. I mean, I've heard the records, but I can only imagine how badass the band is live.
Oh, yeah. And I go down to PG and see him every once in a while. I missed him last week. That was
I did too.
Yeah.
I wanted to go.
It was on a Sunday night, man. And
it's like, dude, if that was a Saturday night, I could have might have worked it out. But
yeah. It's
Sunday
like
night's not.
Sunday is like the last night in the world I want to get out and go anywhere. And you know, I've seen them a couple times this summer. They are an amazing, amazing band, and I've seen some really great bands down at PG.
Yeah, I have too.
Like, you know, my buddy's band Colossum is a great band. Kentucky Nightmare. For a while, you know, my buddy Jeremy was drumming in a band called Sexy Etc. But they kind of, I think they kind of took a break now.
They're taking a break.
Well, I think their main guy moved to Maryland or something like that.
I saw them down at Boca Lounge actually.
I was gonna go to that show, but then for one reason or another, I just got lazy and didn't.
My girlfriend's friends were going out, and they decided to go to Boca Lounge, and I went, you know, with them. And Sexy Etc. was playing. I was like, oh shit,
yeah,
that's awesome.
You know, Boca is a great place though. Now they put that new stage up, and it's amazing on how nice it is. And I've been down there a couple times. I mean, I know Calabash is playing there.
Yeah,
tonight.
I didn't know it was tonight.
No, I think it's tonight. But I can already tell you right now, I got the sinus headache crud, and it's raining outside, so to get me out of the house tonight will be a monumental task.
Yeah.
I got that feeling already. But
yep, I'm actually playing a card game at my, like, a family card game tonight. So
nice.
It's going to be fun. Some Hold'em.
Yeah.
Get drunk and play Hold'em with the family.
Oh, that
kind of a Thanksgiving weekend tradition.
That sounds nice. Yeah, I'm done with all the Thanksgiving stuff for the week, thank God. And
yeah.
And you know, just ready to just kick back and lay back and not really
probably listen
anything.
To some vinyl, right?
Yeah. You know, well, it's I got a free weekend this weekend, so I'm being about as lazy as possibly I can be. This is probably the most I'm going to do all weekend. So
I mean, we don't have to wrap up right now, but I'm saying just thanks for coming on.
Oh yeah,
'cause it's you know, it's. It's really nice to – you're the first person who's, like, reached out to me to be on, because so far it's been me inviting, but then you reached out to me, and I was like, hell yeah, you know.
Well,
if you know anybody else who would want to do something like this, send them my way.
Oh, absolutely.
And yeah. I'm trying to be a small part of the music scene coming together and getting all these different people from all these different circles in the Evansville music scene on one – you know, one podcast. I'm trying to make that happen.
Well, I think you're doing a great thing here, and I think you got a really good program. You know, and you had my buddy Zach on there, and I listened to the whole 2 hours of it, and while I was working, and you know, I just like people talk. I mean, you guys went on all kinds of different subjects.
Yeah,
and I'm thinking
Bernie Sanders and all kinds of shit.
Yeah. I could talk about Bernie all day long. That's my boy.
Oh yeah, you're Bernie.
Oh yeah, I'm on Team Bernie.
Dude, I think I am too. I think every out of the candidates we have to choose, he's the obvious choice to me.
Yeah, well, he is to me as well. I mean, you know, I'm. I am a socialist to a point. You know, I like to call myself a progressive realist more than anything else. I believe in progress, but I also understand that there are limits on what you really can and can't do. You can't just change things overnight. I do love politics.
Yeah, I do too.
It's always been one of my dreams to run for something someday. But, you know, I probably have way too many skeletons in my closet to do that. but no, I mean, you know, when Obama ran in 08, I worked on the campaign here in town.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Sweet.
I did some canvassing and some calls. And that was one of the highlights of my life because I felt so, you know, touched and really somebody grabbed me that spoke to me and it made me want to get out and do that. And be a help. And of course, he ended up winning Indiana. And in the process, you know, I got to meet Michelle Obama. I got to meet Joe Biden.
That's badass.
Yeah,
awesome.
Yeah. I got a picture of me and Joe shaking hands. you know, I went to the big rally where he was here at Roberts Stadium. But that was just such a great time period. And I remember when he won. And, you know, say what you will about, you know, his policies or politics or any of that kind of stuff, because Washington's a mess all the way around, whether it be Republican or Democrat. And, you know, you can riff on him all you want. But that was a historic moment, you know, when he won.
Undoubtedly.
Yeah, when he won, I had tears in my eyes just because it was so amazing. So amazing. So, you know, I do follow politics, and even if it's local, I mean, I know we just had the local elections here. And you know,
I had Steve Wozniak on.
Oh yeah, Woz. I've known Woz for a long time.
Really?
Yeah,
that's awesome.
I've known Woz for about 20 years.
Yeah, I actually met him at his house to do the podcast.
Yeah,
it was cool.
Yeah,
yeah, way out on the west side. I don't know if I should say that,
but
somewhere to the west of the Mississippi, I met him.
Well, you know, I live in the county, so I could not vote for the mayor.
Ah.
So, but
it's only like what 400 something voted for Steve Wozniak.
Yeah, but it's hard. It's always hard being an independent candidate. But
he had some good ideas, man. Go back and listen to that podcast.
Yeah.
He had some great ideas.
And you know what, though, I give props to the guy because he had balls to do it because he put himself out there. And
he ran a campaign. I mean,
you know,
he did it.
And that's always that's a thing itself, that he had the balls to do it.
Yeah.
You know, I've worked with Mayor Lloyd on a couple things. And
oh, really?
And he's a great guy, a great mayor.
I would imagine he's like a nice guy, to talk to and everything.
Oh, I have all the respect in the world for him. And for this administration, I can't say the same thing for the past city council. But you know, but I think that he's trying to move this community forward. I think it is moving forward. You know, when I got here in 97, you know, I remember driving out to USI because I went to college out there, and it was nothing but woods.
Yeah.
And downtown was nothing, and there wasn't anything going on, and everybody bitched and complained how there's nothing going on in Evansville. And now Evansville, you look back on all these years later, there's just so many things going on that sometimes, you know, you can't go to everything in one night. And, you know, everybody complains about Evansville not being very progressive. Well, it really isn't. The old guard has sometimes been slow to move things forward, but look what has moved people forward. It's been the people. You look at what happened down on Franklin Street.
Young, energetic people.
You know, those are just people.
Yeah.
You know, and once they saw that the people could put this stuff together and do it and try it, then that's when officials get on board and say, yeah, we're going to support these things, but it takes the people to do it first. And so that's why I have all the props in the world for all the people, whether it be the Franklin Street Bazaar or the all this stuff that's going on down there or the revitalization. Downtown and all that stuff. It's just it took people.
PG Lamasco, that's over on Franklin, a little further down the street than that little strip.
Oh yeah,
but it's down there. I mean, it's only a minute down the road.
Yeah, yeah. You know, Tin Man over there.
I mean, all that shit.
It's
nice to have that in your community, like a little, you know, not only just that, but now maybe Sortie will begin something downtown. I don't know. And you know.
Well, I think downtown, though, I look so forward to the future of downtown. You know, I do work at the public library downtown.
Yeah. Winicky's trying to do something, right? Doesn't he have plans?
Yeah, well, you know, the Ford Center was built a few years back, and that's all well and great, and I love that facility. But then, you know, the hotel's being built right across the street. The medical center is being built.
That's going to be something, man.
That's the game changer, man.
Yeah.
It's going to bring people downtown. I look forward to it. And you see cities around here. like Owensboro. I mean, yeah. Owensboro's so small, but they just have such a great downtown riverfront.
Really do. Yeah, they really do.
They're doing some really, really great things.
I played at the Cream, actually, a few years back, that spot down there, that coffee house.
Yeah, and Louisville's doing the same thing. And I think we're getting there. We're getting there. And so I'm very proud of the city. I'm very proud of the fact that I live in Evansville. And, you know, it's moving forward, albeit slowly sometimes.
Yeah.
But it is. It's come leaps and bounds from where it was. And so, you know, I just look forward to what the future holds here. And, you know, I hope to be a part of it. So.
Oh, yeah, we both will, I think. I'm not going to – a lot of people are like, I'm going to Indy. I'm, basically abandoning Evansville. It's like, dude, there's 100,000 people. Well, 117,000 people, I think, is what Wozniak said.
Yeah.
And that's a lot of fucking people to just give up on. I mean, surely you can get people out of their houses – long enough to go to some shows and experience some things in Evansville, you know? Like you said, so many bands have been through here.
Yeah.
We need to create an environment where those kind of bands feel comfortable coming here.
Yeah.
And Evansville becomes like... I mean, there are cities of Evansville size all over the United States that get big-ass bands coming in and awesome bands. Primus plays at some smaller places across the United States, but they don't come to Evansville. No. Why? We gotta ask ourselves why, and then, like you said, the people have to actually come in and create that environment, and then the officials will see that and be like, oh, well, we kind of have to go with this because it's working. Obviously working.
And unfortunately, though, the reputation that Evansville has right now, and it's been documented that, we are the number one city for, like, pop country. My sentiments exactly. I mean, so that's why you have the Luke Bryans and the Kenny Chesneys of the world that come in every year.
Listen to Hank the Third.
Yes.
That's my advice to anyone who listens to pop country. Seriously, get an album and listen to it and experience what country could be right now in this day and age.
Oh, well, you know? And my counter argument would be listen to Sturgill Simpson.
Okay.
Because that's country right there. And so listen to Hank Third and Sturgill Simpson, and even to a point, Jason Isbell. He's right up there,
okay,
too.
Okay, yeah.
And Chris Stapleton. Is another one.
Oh, yeah?
I guess his album just won a bunch of awards at the Country Music Awards, which is crazy because he's so kind of out of the normal scene. But then he even did a duet with Justin Timberlake, which was
who that was.
Yeah,
okay.
Which was really weird. He's kind of along the same lines. It's real stuff. People singing about real things. It's not they're not singing about their Ford trucks and their Coors Light, and their tractors or whatever. I don't know all that bullshit. But I mean, these are real things, and that's music that I grew up with old country like Willie and Waylon and Merle and all that kind of stuff, and that's kind of they're bringing it back a little bit. Not this pop country bullshit. Unfortunately, that's what comes to Evansville all the
stupid.
Time. But we do have good bands here. I mean, Tedeschi Trucks.
Some great. Yeah.
Tedeschi Trucks band just came through here not too long ago. One of the best shows I've ever seen, man. Those guys are just amazing. And
Kentucky Knife Fight from St. Louis was supposed to play here.
Yeah.
Back a year and a half ago. And that was actually the night before I met my current girlfriend. I remember it because I showed up. I stayed in Evansville specifically to go to that show. The Vintage Rendition opened for him, another great local band, by the way. And they opened for him, and I came in. Vintage Rendition was playing. I was like, hell yeah. I didn't miss any Kentucky Knife Fight because I've seen Vintage Rendition plenty of times. And actually, that night, Vintage Rendition played like an extended set because Kentucky Knife Fight couldn't show up. Their van broke down or something. So we, everyone that was there, including Mike, the guitar player and the Jangle Sheep, we all just hung out and listened to Vintage Rendition. They actually did a number of songs that I hadn't heard before. Like they did at My Morning Jacket.
Nice.
I Believe.
Okay.
Is that the name of that song?
Yeah, that's the name of it.
Yeah, they did that song. They fucking slaughtered that song. Like, did it verbatim like My Morning Jacket would do it. And just, oh man, it was great. Yeah. They really killed it. But that just goes to show, like, people get booked here, good bands get booked here. It happens.
Yeah.
You just have to, And then if a touring band happens to not be able to make it, local bands can fill in for them. Like, local bands are good too. Like,
yeah,
people
yeah.
just don't. I think a lot of people don't get it.
Yeah,
they just don't get that. You know, there are people that are in the community around you that are very talented.
Oh yeah, yeah, absolutely. And you know, I wish there was more venues for local bands, because it just doesn't seem like there's a lot of bars that book local bands.
It's like
that
five.
Much. Yeah, you know? And that, you know, I mean. And it's kind of sad because, you know, we were talking about before this, it's like, you know, there's very few places, and, you know, I wish more local bands would work together and do shows together. Yeah. or even just have like a local music fest. You know, I know they have Parks Fest every year, but there's
OcuFest up there in Windville is one I've heard of.
Yeah, you know, unfortunately, I think the last couple of years they've got struck by bad weather, and that's the chance you take when, you know, you do an outdoor show.
That's true.
But even if you did an indoor kind of like review or like, I mean, I know this sounds crazy, but you have venues like the Victory or even the Ford Center. Bring in all these local bands. Just let them have a chance to play the damn stage.
Right.
You know?
That would be awesome.
Yeah, it's like put 10 bands together and say, hey, guys, you know, we're going to do this for a good cause, maybe charge $10 a ticket.
Yeah.
And you know, be able to play a stage like that.
Dude, if there's any way that could happen, I would totally go for it. That's awesome.
Well, we just came up with the idea right now.
Yeah.
So let's try to make it happen.
Yeah, let's fucking message and try to talk to people and work on it.
I mean, though, seriously, though, for a band that you're in, I mean, how awesome would it be to play something like that?
Dude, it would be insane. I mean, you would, if you promoted it in such a way, I feel like you could get at least 200-300 people there.
Yeah.
And it would look like nothing in the Ford Center. But there would still be, I mean, they can move all the seats right out front, right?
Yeah.
So
it
could just be people standing there.
Or, you know,
that'd probably be the best thing.
I mean, the Ford Center might be pushing it, but I mean, you know, like the Victory, though.
Okay, the Victory would be more realistic.
Yeah, yeah, because that's a couple thousand people right there, maybe. Or 1,200, or I forget what it holds. But
the Victory is kind of higher, you know, bar, I think.
Well, though, I think
Kenny Chesney will never play at the Victory.
No, no.
But he'll play at Ford Center all day.
Well,
you
because,
know?
Yeah, he can pack the Ford Center in all day, but it's like, I don't know. I just think for bands like that we're in, I mean, just to be able to play a stage like that would just be the thrill of a lifetime.
It would be amazing. Yeah.
You know, even if you're playing for 100 people, you're still playing the stage.
Have like vendors show up to it.
Oh yeah.
Oh man, that would be crazy.
Yeah.
Have food. Have like an all day thing. That would be cool.
Yeah. $10. I mean, whether we want to do something for charity or whatever it could be, I mean,
that'd be cool.
It would be just something to do, and I mean, everybody can invite all their friends and you know, it's just word of mouth thing. All these bands together. I mean, all the bands that we mentioned today, they, you know, they should all be on that bill.
Yeah.
But it's just an opportunity. But you know, that's just an idea.
Yeah. That would be a badass thing, though. And I think I need to start hanging up flyers for this podcast, because to attract more musicians, I wanna try to, you know, hang it up in music stores if at all possible. Go in there and talk to them and be like, hey, can I just hang this up?
And there's a Tri-State Musicians Facebook page, too. I don't know if you're on that. You know, that might be a good place to promote as well. I mean, I do have a marketing and public relations background, so that's how my brain thinks a lot of times. But, I mean, you know, there's different avenues to help promote. But like I said, you have a great program here. I think you're doing a great service for the local community.
Yeah, and it's all free. I mean, it's all, you know, people can listen to it for free. It's just, it's conversations. That's what I want to have, is just, I want to open up the conversation where anybody can be a part of it. And I need to get you and Zach, and maybe even the rest of the band, but just definitely you and Zach on one podcast.
You don't need the rest of the band. Zach and I are the only ones that are funny, so you know.
That's, oh, okay.
No,
all right.
I'm not knocking the rest of the guys, because I know you're probably going to listen to this. But I think that would be great.
That should happen.
Yeah.
I'm going to try to schedule that. I actually have – I said something to Zach about doing another one, and I'm I'll have both of you guys in, and we can just talk about everything. But – But yeah, this we should definitely do a show together, and we should try to definitely make that happen.
Oh yeah,
that'd be awesome.
Yeah, anytime.
We have connections at a few spots. It's not going to be high paying.
No,
that's Evansville right now.
But so. You know, though, the thing is, it's just to get back on stage and play in front of people. You know, that's what makes it all worthwhile. And so any opportunity, I mean, you know, because it's difficult. Cause some of these places that book you, you know, they want you to play from like 10 to 2, and it's like four hours is a lot.
It is.
Now, when I played in some jam bands, that was a little bit easier.
That
because
was like 12 songs.
Yeah, it was like 12 songs, you know.
We'll do six. We'll take a break. We'll do six.
Yeah, you know, it's like set list would be like 4 or 5 songs.
Yeah,
you just go in and out of some stuff, you know.
I can see that.
Yeah, and it's
that would be cool, though. I mean, to be at a bar and have a jam band playing, that's fine. I've
As long as you stay on point, I mean, as long as you don't get too far out there. I mean, you know, like with this band right now, I mean, we don't get very jammy on it. But one of the things that we do, we play a cover of Use Me by Bill Withers. And we go into Neil Young's Down by the River.
Oh,
and then go right back into Use Me.
Okay,
and it's
cool.
Like, those are the kind of things that I just love.
Oh, yeah.
You know, because it's like, if you can nail it and it just sounds good and it's on point. And it's about, by it always times out the same, too. It always times out to be about 11 minutes and 30 seconds.
Oh, wow, that's cool.
You know, but it's just like, yeah, when it works, it works.
That's badass.
And so that's fun.
We do that kind of shit in the Jangle Sheep too.
Yeah, right? You know, and I love that sort of thing. And you know, that's where that kind of music is a little freeing, that you can do something like that. I mean, yeah, you can play the 3-minute, 4-minute song that's just straight on point. Everything's all kinds of, but then that's a little constricting sometimes. You know,
it can be.
Yeah, you know, as long as everybody's watching what they're doing and you know, you got that communication going, so you don't train wreck it or anything like that.
Yeah.
Then it can work. But I don't want to do 37-minute songs like I used to. I don't have the patience for that. My musical tastes have changed so much over the years that I just don't know if I could do that anymore. I'd get so bored after probably about 5 or 6 minutes.
We do a thing. It's like we just like throwing songs together.
Yeah.
Like doing one song after the other. And we do this medley. Well, it's only 2 songs, but I guess it's a medley. Venture Brothers... What's it called? Pipeline.
Okay.
And then, you know, it's like that surfer vibe. And then we somehow get that into Dead Kennedy's police truck. And because it's all on E. It's all like, you know, E. And we just go one into the other. And we've done that live every show we've played. We've played that song. That's the one song I think we've played for every show.
And
it always kills.
Yeah, and it's that fun. Stuff kills because people don't even... It's like, yeah, because you can just... Because all you got to do is just figure out what key something's in and just, you know, just... As long as you got the communication, just like, all right, now's where we do. It just takes one person to play a riff, and it's like, all right, you're good.
It's a pre-planned thing. Our change is a, you know, we all know exactly when we're going in to Dead Kennedys.
Absolutely.
Another song on Tony Hawk's Pro Skater, actually.
Yeah. So.
Those two, Jerry Was a Race Car Driver and Police Truck. If I could have just had those two songs playing back-to-back every time I played that game, that would have been great.
Nice.
Those are great songs.
Yeah.
Great bands, too. I like the Dead Kennedys a lot.
Yeah, I mean, they're more like a punk.
Yeah, a punk. Yeah, they're a punk band for sure. Yeah.
You know,
80s punk, like Reagan-era punk.
Yeah, I mean, I never really got into the punk phase all that much, a little bit here and there. I mean, I listened to some Black Flag and you know, that sort of thing, but I just could never really get into it. Check out
Reagan Youth.
Reagan Youth,
like Hitler Youth, but it's Reagan Youth. It's fucking awesome, dude. Yeah. Reagan Youth is fucking great. It's just, I think they only had one album. They were kind of like the 80s American version of the Sex Pistols in a way.
Okay, okay.
I mean, that's me. No one else said that. That's just me. Yeah. That's how I think of them, but... Yeah, Sex Pistols is good too.
Yeah,
that one album.
Yeah, yeah. You know, I mean, I have all the. That's just another music genre that I have all the respect in the world for. I just never really got into it, and
I can in short spurts. I can in little. You know, like that one, Sex Pistols album, and the you know Dead Kennedys. I can listen to them for an hour at a time and really dig it. You know, Holiday in Cambodia. That's a good song. Like you know, just the tongue in cheek lyrics. Fantastic, I think. You know, blows me away. But I only got into them maybe 2 years ago, really.
Well, you know, and that's what's so great about music, though, is, you know, no matter how much you're into music or, you know, how much you listen to music, there's always more out there. You know,
That's definitely true.
Yeah, you just never know what you're going to find. Like, I just recently heard about a band called Can.
Can?
They're like a okay, I don't know if you've if you're familiar with the movie Inherent Vice.
I've heard it. Yeah.
There's
the Paul Thomas Anderson.
And Johnny Greenwood did a lot of the music that. And he was inspired by this band named Can. Now, I don't know anything about them, but, you know, I was over at my girlfriend's brother's house, and he was all talking about that, and that's what inspired Johnny Greenwood, and it was all German. It was a German band in the 70s. And, you know, of course, when I think of German bands, I think of Kraftwerk and stuff like that, I hate that shit. Yeah. I just do. And
I guess my age makes me think of Rammstein, Rammstein, however you pronounce that shit.
Honestly, what I think of is that band Autobahn off the Big Lebowski.
That's what
I think of, a bunch of nihilists. You know, that's what I think of when I think of that sort of thing.
Yeah.
But no, so it's like, I wanted to check it out, and so I went back and listened to the Inherent Vice soundtrack, and so I pulled that song up, and I'm like, man, this is a really, really cool band, and now I actually want to explore it even more.
Yeah.
Well,
you don't have to know what they're saying.
No.
For it to be good.
No.
Like, if you go back and listen to the Mars Volta,
yeah,
they have Spanish songs, and I don't know what the fuck he's saying, and actually, when I was in high school, I brought in the Mars Volta lyric booklet from the album or the CD, and I gave it to my teacher, and I was like, can you tell me what he's saying? My Spanish teacher, she couldn't even, like, she knew some words, but she didn't, you know, he uses weird fucking words. He uses weird English words.
Yeah.
I would only imagine he would use obscure Spanish words.
Well, I you know, I...
It's still good music, though.
No, and this didn't sound German at all. I mean, it sounded, you know, the craziest thing... and I don't know if you've ever thought about this.
Are the songs English?
Yeah, the songs are English.
Okay.
Yeah, the songs are English. And it sounds very English. But that's a crazy thing about all these international bands, that when they sing, whether they're Irish or British or German or anything like that.
Australian.
They always sound just like regular English when they sing.
Yeah.
And it blows my mind when I think about
it. It's an accent for them.
Yeah.
It's like they're putting on the American accent.
But it's just amazing, though. When they sing, you just never hear it. But then when they start talking, you're like, oh, I had no idea they were.
Hello.
Yeah, it's like, what? But then,
I don't know,
you can just go down the line on all the bands, and it's just amazing how they, but if we were American trying to sing in a different accent, it would just be a train wreck.
Well, the Rolling Stones, Mick Jagger, he sings like an American.
Oh, yeah.
But then, you know, when you listen to him talk, he's English.
Or even more recently, and I am not condoning this music whatsoever because I do not like it, but Sam Smith.
Okay.
When I first heard Sam Smith, the picture in my head was not the person that was singing song.
I thought he'd be a black guy.
Yeah. I didn't want to say that.
But I'm sure there are some, like, really big, like, social justice warrior types that would hate that. But, I mean, he does sound like he would be an African-American guy.
Yeah.
He has, like, that soulful sound that you would, that a lot of people, and maybe wrongfully so, but I think it's a compliment. He has that soulful vibe that just you associate with African American people singing. Like,
no, I think you're 100% correct. I mean, I kept thinking of like old Motown.
Yeah,
R&B.
It's awesome. I mean, his voice is great. I just don't like the songs.
His voice blew me away. But yeah, I really don't like it. But then when I found out he's just some British guy, I'm like, what?
British white guy. Yeah.
Yeah. I was like, what?
So like the original white.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Like, yeah. So that kind of, that totally kind of blew my mind a little bit. But yeah, it's just amazing when it comes to that sort of thing. But I don't know. That's just one of those little quirks about music that always drives me a little crazy.
Well, like Keith Urban, even to get more corporate. Urban, he sounds American when he sings.
Yeah.
But then when he talks, he's got a very strong Australian accent. But there's a lot of people like that. And it's funny how. Some people don't, though. Like Cedric from the Mars Volta, he does sound Spanish.
Yeah.
When he talks in English, he does have like a weird, you know, a weird, almost dialect.
He
talks about some weird shit too. I mean, their album names alone are give you that vibe.
Now they're not together anymore, are they?
No, it's now they're in Antimask. Is that what they're doing now with Flea?
Okay, yeah. I've kind of heard about that.
It's those two guys in Flea, and then the other guy is in the Vulturettes. Omar is in the Vulturettes.
Okay,
I don't know what Cedric. I guess Cedric and Omar are both doing the. Oh. Yeah, I used to be a huge Mars Volta at the drive-in, all that shit at the drive-in. Still to this day, fantastic. Like I can't say enough good about at the drive-in. I just love that like really raw post-hardcore. Which I mean that genre name fits in this instance, like because they were the beginning of that, and then a few bands after them made it work, and then it went to shit.
Yeah, well, that's a band that you know I've heard so many great things about that I just never really got into, you know. I mean, and so I'd love to go back and check them out.
Open your mind before you hear it, because a lot of people just automatically count it out because of his vocals, because they're unorthodox.
You know, it's all about the music, you know, and it's just what sticks.
If you listen to Relationship of Command, there's some keyboard on there.
Yeah, nice.
Actually, so it has that extra layer that you're used to hearing.
Yeah. Oh, and that doesn't even drive me, though, when it comes to listening to music. I just like good music, you know. But you know, sometimes I go through, like, singer-songwriter phases. Sometimes I like, you know, fun music. Sometimes I like sad, depressing music. You know, it just really depends what I'm in the mood for. But yeah, you know, music is music. And you know, whether it be from bands like Mars Volta or the Rolling Stones that we're talking about, or just us sitting here playing in shitty bar bands. You know, it's music.
Yeah.
And it's we do it because we love it. We do it because it's a thrill. And you know, you think about it, sometimes I got to step back and be like, you know what? I haven't made any money doing this over the years. You know, my dad always tells me, he goes, "What's your second job?" I said, "I play music." He goes, "A second job means you make money." And I said, "Well, you know, I've made some money this year." He goes, "Yeah, but how many hours have you practiced? You haven't made any money." And I'm like, don't ruin this for me, man. You know, and but the thing is, you think about what we've done just to even get up on stage and play in front of people. Yeah. Not a lot of people get to do that.
No.
And so, you know, I think we need to take a step back sometimes, even as good as we think we are as local musicians, to say, hey, we're doing something that most people have never had the opportunity and are really quite jealous that they've never had this chance to do this.
Yeah. And like we're so good at something that we feel confident enough to stand in front of people and do it.
And people will give you applause or give you reactions, and that's the greatest feeling in the world. And so, you know, it's like I can say that I've done this, and you know, I never expected it, and it's just been a joy, and I've played some really great shows, and I hope to play some really great shows in the future. But you know, I'm lucky. You know, and so it's such a thrill to come on here and talk about music and talk about local music.
We'll do it again for sure.
Absolutely. For sure. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. But, you know, I did reach out to you because after I heard Zach's thing, I'm like, hey, man, I got a lot of stuff I could talk about.
Yeah.
I like to talk. I like to talk.
I do too.
But
that's the one thing people everywhere, no matter who they are, everyone likes to talk about themselves, and I feel like that's part of the reason that podcasts are so popular, and I want to get in on that and at the same time kind of illuminate the Evansville music scene, because we have a viable scene here. It's just got to get some fire underneath it, and you know, and then we'll have touring bands come in and local bands playing with them, and it'll just be fantastic.
Absolutely.
Maybe even the Courier and Press will start, you know, like
if we only
writing about that.
If we only knew somebody there.
Yeah, right. And I actually interned there in the sports department for a couple semesters. But that's where me and Zach actually went out on smoke breaks a lot during that and talked about Elliott Smith and shit. And,
yeah.
So that's what's funny about this is like it's a connection. Like I know Zach. Zach knows you. Then you probably know some other dude that knows, you know, that drummer I was talking about from the Dead Gypsies, and then he knows me. And it's like, it's this big fucking circle, and that happens endlessly in this Evansville music scene, and people just don't know about it because they're not there. And I feel like even if you're not a musician, if you show up and if you, you know, support, there's a place for you in this scene. Like, people who aren't musical or, you know, but enjoy it, there's a place for you. You can do something.
Well, yeah, absolutely.
We need visual artists. We need a whole community of people to keep this flourishing, you know?
Yeah, and it's just getting better and better. But yeah, Evansville, even though it's kind of a big town, it's not a big town. It really is a fishbowl. Everybody does know one another.
Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, for good or for bad. but
yeah, sometimes bad. It can be bad.
Oh,
that's
yeah.
every scene, though.
Yeah, know. Yeah. You know, on various walks of life.
Yeah.
But still, though, I think that, yeah, I mean, I think I'll help spread the word on this and let's, you know, help you try to find some more musicians to come and talk about what their passions are and their loves.
I just want to keep going and compile this scene, hopefully coming back. You know?
Yeah, so I know I've said this before, but I think this is a great program you have here, and I just appreciate the opportunity to come in and talk to you today. And it's a dreary, nasty day outside.
It is. It's a shit day.
It is a shit day. You know, I'm fighting the winter crud, so if I sound nasally...
Oh, I probably do too.
Yeah,
man.
It's like,
good.
I hate my voice the way
it's
it is.
It's the winter. It's Evansville's winter.
Yeah.
And, you know, you got to play shows in the winter, too. That's a thing about the winter is you have to.
I'll tell you a quick story about that.
All right.
You know, a couple years ago, you remember when we had that big kind of blizzard freeze